likes to hear this, but it's true. If you don't move, you die. Exercise fundamentally changes every system and function in your body. First and foremost, exercise is about circulation. And not just about blood circulation, but about every kind of circulation system in the body. Obviously, exercise definitely improves the flow of blood. Think what this means for a moment. Even if you eat healthy foods and partake of the most powerful supplements in the world, if that nutrition can't easily reach some part of your body because circulation is restricted, whether that part's an organ, a group of cells within an organ, or even one single cell, then that part will suffer, waste away, and become diseased. If the blockage is total, that part will die. And of course, blood also brings oxygen to and removes carbon dioxide waste from every cell and organ in your body. Again, if circulation is restricted, the cell or organ slowly suffocates in its own waste and eventually dies. And finally, blood carries immune cells and pH balancers into every part of your body. The bottom line is that exercise literally drives your blood through your body, forcing oxygen and nutrition into every nook and cranny. But as we said earlier, exercise is not just about the circulation of blood. In fact, way back in the beginning of this lecture series, we talked about how your lymph is your body's sewer system, removing dead cells, waste, toxic matter, heavy metals, bacteria, etc., from body tissue. Unfortunately, the lymph system has no pump of its own. To a large degree, your body depends on muscle movement to press waste through the lymph system. If you don't move, your lymph is stagnant. You end up poisoning yourself. You die. Keep in mind that this statement is both absolute and relative. In other words, it's definite that stagnant lymph will ultimately destroy your health, but the process may take a number of years in some people. Exercise is also good for your heart. The heart is a muscle and grows stronger with exercise. The stronger it is, the more efficient it is, and the less work it has to do to pump blood through your body. Think about what that means for a moment. Not only is your heart stronger and capable of doing more work, but it's also more efficient. That means it actually has to do less work, beat fewer times a minute in order to get its job done. No wonder exercise is one of the best things you can do to improve longevity. Other benefits of exercise include, it's one of the best methods we know for lowering blood pressure. Exercise increases bone density. I mean, this makes sense. If you increase the demands on your skeletal structure, your body builds stronger bones in response to the physical stress. Correspondingly, we know that astronauts in space, without the benefit of gravity to stress their bodies, tend to lose a significant amount of bone density. It's also worth noting that exercise is a key factor in promoting peristalsis and relieving constipation. In other words, it's a major factor in helping prevent the onset of diverticular disease and colon cancer. And speaking of cancer, as the New England Journal of Medicine reported in their May 1, 1997 issue, women who exercise regularly reduce their risk of breast cancer by 72%. And keep in mind that the strength you gain from exercise is not just for showing off in the weight room. It's essential as we get older. People who exercise regularly are far less likely to fall and break bones, not only because the exercise has made them stronger, but also because the exercise gave them better balance and because the larger muscle mass cushions the bones better and protects them. If you're worried about hip fractures, exercise is one of the best things you can do to prevent the problem. And of course, there's nothing more fundamental to losing body fat than exercise. Not as many people think because the exercise burns the fat off, but rather because muscle burns fat even while you sleep. The more muscle you have, the more calories you burn. 60 to 70% of the energy your muscles burn, even while sleeping, is fat. Every pound of muscle that you have burns fat calories 24 hours a day. Think about that. If you add 4 pounds of muscle to your body every day, you automatically burn an extra 200 calories or so, free of charge, plus another 200 calories from your exercise. We also need to consider the effect exercise has on your body's flow of energy. The Chinese call it qi, the yogis of India call it prana, here in the States people call it life force. Whatever you call it, it can be seen, measured, photographed, felt, and manipulated. According to Chinese medicine, restriction in its flow is the ultimate cause of all disease. Exercise stimulates and helps move this energy through blocked areas of the body. Exercise also produces happy biochemicals called endorphins. Sometimes called the runner's high, these endorphins drive away stress and depression and stimulate the immune system. In addition, exercise increases levels of human growth hormone, the youth hormone in the body. Aerobic exercise can increase HGH levels by as much as 200%, but weight training can increase HGH levels an astounding 400%. And finally, everyone thinks of strength training as a young person's activity, but in fact, the older you are, the more benefits it provides. As reported in the Journal of the American Medical Association, 2 45-minute weight or strength training sessions a week can improve bone density, muscle mass, strength, balance, and physical activity in older women, ages 50 to 70. After 1 year of strength training, women emerged physiologically younger by 15 to 20 years than when they began. Other studies have demonstrated the same results for men who weight train. And people in their 70s and 80s can experience strength gains of as much as 180% in a matter of just a few weeks. So what exercise should you do? What's the best exercise? Actually, you need to cross-train for maximum benefits. You need to do aerobic exercise, weight training, and stretching. Aerobic exercise should be practiced every other day. By definition, aerobic exercise is continuous, nonstop. It lasts at least 12 minutes, preferably 20 minutes or more. The key is to exercise longer, not harder. It has a comfortable pace, not so fast that you can't talk during it if you want, and it involves your leg muscles. Weight training or strength training should be practiced every other day, too. Basically, just alternate it with your aerobic exercise. You can use free weights or use any of a number of available machines. It doesn't matter. Stretching is the forgotten exercise, and yet it's vital to good health. It should be done every day. It's invaluable as part of your aerobic and weight training sessions to prevent injuries. It's also great exercise on its own. In addition to helping prevent injuries, stretching also lubricates your joints, squeezes lymph fluid through your body, revitalizes the discs in your spine. Back bends in particular squeeze the discs like a sponge so that when you release the stretch, the discs soak up water and fill up to their original size. There's all kinds of exercise you can do, everything from Taibo to mountain biking. All are useful. Just make sure that your routine regularly incorporates all three components, aerobic, strength, and stretching. Now, let me conclude this talk with a plug for my particular favorite form of exercise, yoga. Yoga is spectacular exercise, and it stretches every part of your body and is renowned for its ability to relieve stress and depression. If done properly, it can also increase aerobic capacity and body strength. I can't recommend it highly enough. Just make sure you find a qualified teacher. Unfortunately, many so-called yoga instructors today are merely aerobic instructors who have attended one or two yoga classes and think they're ready to teach. They're not. Anyway, that's it for Part 14 of the Take Back Your Health series. In Part 15, final lecture in this series, we're going to talk about cancer, probably the most feared disease in the world today.